too. She says, listen, I don't want no bad vibes around me, you know. So just get rid of the stress life. Because I live in my best life. What are you living? How are you living? Yeah man, we're celebrating life around here, and I want to say thank you to all my affiliates celebrating life with me. I want to say big ups to those who are locked in on TuneIn Radio, the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew. Big ups to those who are locked in from across the pond, One Harmony Radio. Top of the morning to you. Big ups to those who are locked in out of New Jersey, NIE Radio. Big ups, Motivator. I want to say big ups to those who are locked in out of New York, an island worldwide, exhibiting the power of music. How you doing? Big ups to those out of Texas, on WGLRO, Oliwap Radio, Dusik Media Groups. Much love to you. I want to say big ups to those on the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com. The South Florida weather is crazy, isn't it? Much love to each and every one of you. Big ups to those on Facebook Live. Inviting you to call a friend, tell a friend. Call the friends of your friends, call your enemies, enemies of your friends, and friends of your enemies. Tell everybody, it's a night shift with DJ Kevin Stew. Healthy love night. Big ups to all those who are locked in at the home of the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew, kevinstew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment. Welcome and much love. Want to say thank you to my segment sponsor. Big up to Pulse Media Group. When being in the moment is priceless. If you're looking for innovative streaming and recording solutions, give them a call. They can do everything you see on kevinstew.com and more. We have a church service, a funeral, a wedding, a seminar. And you want to stream any of those on a secure platform, even your personal platform, they got a hookup for you. 754-999-6020 is the number that gets you in touch. Tell them you heard about them on the night shift to DJ Kevin Stew. Thank you, Pulse Media. Yeah man, we're a dash of the stress life, you know. We're gonna start live our best life, you know, by any means necessary. And tonight on Healthy Love, we're looking at stress, health, and race. Or stress, health, and race. Yeah, because, you know, you have fairly decent levels of stress, and then you have dangerous levels of stress. And the type that you are experiencing and how that affects you, it could vary, you know. So one of the things that I am also realizing is stress can affect your health. Now, your health isn't affected the same across the board, which is where race comes into play, because not all races with the same stressors get the same illness, and not all races with the same illness have the same effect. So, one of the things that, this is a bit of an older article, but I'm mixing some older information with some newer information, because guess what? Not much has changed with how stress affects health and how health is show how it shows up in different races. So there's not much difference at play. And as you guys tune in, I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and enemies and everybody that you can share it with. Tell them about it. Come to kevinstew.com. Jump into the stew part. It's what others call a chat room. But because we're fancy on kevinstew.com, we call it the stew part. It's where we keep things interactive and bubbling. And you can participate live by calling in, texting in, WhatsApp, Telegram. 773-789-STEW is the number to use. That's 773-789-7839. And you see the number scrolling across the bottom of your screen if you're watching on Facebook Live or if you're on kevinstew.com. And remember, Facebook Live only is just a segment. So use the link that is pinned in the comments section. Come on over to kevinstew.com. You can remain anonymous if you want. You can put your name in the stew pot if you want. You know, it's up to you. You don't need to register for anything. Just participate. All right, so stress doesn't only make us feel awful emotionally, according to WebMD and Jay Winner, but it can also exacerbate just about any health condition you can think of. So you think about it and you get stressed, and it can affect you in some ridiculous ways. I was talking with a friend of mine today, and he was telling me about his first day at boot camp when he joined the military. And it was about 60 of them rolling into the base that day. And about 15 of them were women. In the first hour, when boot camp started, the drill, the drill sergeant got to shouting and addressing, and he said all 15 women immediately started on their cycle. Now, if that isn't a different level of stress in inducing a situation, I don't know what is. Because I am thinking, and again, I'm a DJ, not a DR, so I don't know if there's any medical proof to this or anything like that. But think about it. The stress level and what it can do. And I have a number of female friends, and I've heard them talk about stress bringing on their cycle. And it makes sense if these 15 women lined up and started having instructions barked at them. It could be quite stressful. He said within the first hour, all 15 women were on their cycle. Now, studies have found many health problems related to stress. Stress seems to worsen or increase the risk of conditions like obesity, heart disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, depression, gastrointestinal problems, and even asthma. Before you get too stressed out about being stressed out, though, there's actually some good news about that bit of information, because you have some simple stress relief techniques and tips that not only could lower your stress levels but also improve your health risks or lower your health risk. So, some of the most significant health problems relating to stress include heart disease. And researchers have long suspected that the stressed out type A personality has the higher risk of high blood pressure and heart problems. Now, we're not too sure why, but stress can directly increase heart rate and blood flow and causes the release of cholesterol and triglycerides into the bloodstream. It is also possible that stress is related to other problems. An increased likelihood of smoking or obesity that indirectly increase the heart risks. Doctors who do know that sudden emotional stress can be a trigger for serious cardiac problems, including heart attacks. And people who have chronic heart problems need to avoid acute stress, even if that includes a new girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, the hot type? Yeah. And these individuals should also learn how to successfully manage life's unavoidable stresses. And they should do so as best as they can. And we know life will toss you some curveballs every now and then and really mess up your day. But there are ways to, or you have to learn ways, I should say, to manage those curveballs when they're pitched in your direction. Many studies have also shown that stress can worsen asthma. And some evidence suggests that parents' chronic stress might even increase the risk of developing asthma in their children. One study looked at how parental stress affected the asthma rates of young children who were also exposed to air pollution or whose mothers smoked during pregnancy. The children with stressed out parents had a substantially higher risk of developing asthma. So, parents, two things, and parents to be. Stop stressing. And stop stressing your children. Now, a lot of us in the southern hemisphere, just a lot of us anywhere, just basically, to be honest, are familiar with excess fat in the belly region. And this seems to pose greater health risks than fat on the legs or on the hips. And unfortunately, that's just where people with high stress seems to store it, in their belly region. Stress causes higher levels of the hormone cortisol. And that seems to increase the amount of fat that is deposited in the abdomen, according to Winner. Stress can also worsen diabetes, and it can do so in two ways. First, it increases the likelihood of bad behaviors, such as unhealthy eating and excessive drinking. And second, stress seems to raise the glucose levels in people with type 2 diabetes directly. See the effect of stress? Now, stress is also considered one of the most common triggers for headaches. Not just tension headaches, but migraines as well. So, when your partner is saying, "Boy, you know, not tonight, I have a headache," that could be because of either stress that you brought on, or stress that they experienced leading up to this point. Now, fortunately for you, one of the great relievers of stress is a good pleasure moment. So if you can convince your partner to get into the groove and get into the mood and have that moment where you can exercise the pleasure principle, then that headache could very well and go away because you're releasing the stress. You see how that works? Now, it's probably no surprise that chronic stress is connected with higher rates of depression and anxiety. One survey of studies found that people who had stress related to their jobs, like demanding work with few rewards, these people had an 80% higher risk of developing depression within a few years rather than related to people with lower stress. So you have these jobs that you really have to find your own reward system, because the job itself isn't recognizing your efforts and it requires you to put in a lot of effort. These people, 80% higher risk of developing depression. Now, how many people in corporate America have such jobs? Because just about anywhere you go in corporate America, the demand is high and the reward is minimal. Just a few places you have reward even, well, it's definitely not on par with the demands of the job. Definitely not. But few places you can find some with some decent rewards. Now, one thing that stress doesn't do is that it does not cause ulcers. However, it can make ulcers worse. And stress is also a common factor in many other gastrointestinal conditions, such as chronic heartburn and irritable bowel syndrome. So you might want to keep those things in mind. One animal study. You ever notice how many animal studies are done to give human advice? Is it because we go back to nature with a lot of the things that we need to do? However, you're given prescriptions and pills to address your issues versus going back to nature for that too. You know, I go off on these tangents from time to time, but I digress. So, one animal study found that stress might worsen Alzheimer's disease. Now, I'm not too sure which animal they tested to find that out and how well they could tell that the animal was forgetting things. But the study, animal study, found this to be the case, causing the animal's brain lesions to form more quickly. Now, some researchers speculate that reducing stress has the potential to slow down the progression of Alzheimer's disease. How then do we reduce stress to reduce Alzheimer's? Or is it just that you reduce stress and it, in general, helps your condition? There's also evidence that stress can affect how you age. And, you know, our ladies tend to be really touchy about looking aged. Well, maybe they should consider how much stress is in their life. One study compared the DNA of mothers who were under high stress. They were caring for a chronically ill child, for example, with women who were not. Researchers found that a particular region of the chromosomes showed the effects of accelerated aging. Stress seemed to accelerate aging about 9 to 17 additional years. just from being stressed. So, you know, some of those people, you look at them and you say, wait, they're in their 20s? They must be living some hard 20-year life. What are they doing? Another really interesting thing that can be brought about by stress, as shown in a study that looked at the health effects of stress by studying elderly caregivers looking after their spouses, that are, so you're talking about people who are naturally under a great deal of stress. It found that the caregivers had a 63% higher rate of death than people who their age who were not caregivers. So you're up in age and you're a caregiver, you are 63% more likely to die than someone who is up in age and enjoying their retirement years. Somebody that is just chilling and breezing and living it up. 63%. Now, when you think of people that you know right now, in the area you live, people that are in your family, people that you work with, when you look at some of these things that stress can cause, do you recognize any of them in any of these people? Do you take a moment and look in the mirror and realize, wait, I am one of those people. I suffer from some of these symptoms of stress. I suffer from some of these ailments that can be worsened or brought on by stress. So, I guess the question would be at this point, what do you do about it? But there's also another question. The question of how many of these conditions affect different races differently. Because here's one of the things that I don't think we really pay attention to from time to time. The fact that in a country where you have many cultures, many races coming together, the same level of stress is meted out to everybody working a particular line. So let's say we have customers, a set of customer service reps, all started their jobs the same day, different races. They all get the same type of calls. They are all under the same amount of pressure to produce. They all face the same amount of stress. If they all develop the same condition, it affects them by race differently. Now, isn't that crazy? Let's think about that for a moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to jump off Facebook Live. Hey, Vincent, how you doing, bro? We're going to jump off Facebook Live. We're going to go use the link, Vincent. Come on over to kevinstew.com. It's good to see you, by the way. How's the family? Come on over. We're going to take a break. Come on over. When we come back, we're going to talk some more. We're going to look at some of these conditions that I mentioned and how race comes into play with some of these conditions. You know, how someone, one particular race may be affected more than the other, what race gets affected more, you know, things like that. We're going to see how much we can squeeze into the next hour of this broadcast. Call your friends, tell your friends, call your enemies, friends of your friends of your enemies of your friends, call everybody. Share it with them, send them a message, drop them a line, tell them kevinstew.com. It's Healthy Love Night, and we're looking at stress, health, and race. Now, if you want to drop a comment between the stress and the health, it's stress, health, and race. And the race comes in because the stress causes health problems, and each race may be affected differently. I'm going to look at how differently in just a moment. Like I said, call your friends. We'll be right back.
Pulse Media Group, innovative streaming recording, has done it again. A new way to get your business in full view of your neighborhood consumer through AdShare TV. It's available in your neighborhood today. It's easy. Just call us, 754-999-6020. Become a host today and place a TV monitor in a strategic location so it's easy to see. Get a 1-minute video ad or longer that plays anywhere in our network. Can't be a host? No problem. For a few dollars, we'll run your 30-second video ad. A host can run announcement specials like buy one, get one free, or discount ads. Let's turn your flyers into a 30-second video with music, or a voiceover, or let us create and run your video ad with a spokesperson. Take advantage of our early enrollment discount. Join us today. Your ad will be seen at least 30 times per day in your AdShare TV neighborhood. It's easy. Just call us, 754-999-6020. AdShare TV, part of Pulse Media Group.
Takes an entire village to raise a child. Hello, I'm Paul Campbell, here to talk about PALAS. Peace and Love Academic Scholarship. This nonprofit group supports students facing serious obstacles from entering or continuing their studies, not because the grades are failing, but due to the lack of financial support.
Over the past 8 years, PALAS has awarded 600 scholarships valued at approximately 50.3 million Jamaican dollars, or 415,000 US dollars.
Together, we must build a better future for our children. Please visit www.palace1.org and make your donation to brighten the future of a deserving child. PALAS. Preserving young minds for posterity.
Making great music is one thing. Sharing it with the world, that's another. Let the professionals at Reggae Global Entertainment help you to another level. Specializing in artist management, booking, public relations and marketing, and promotion, Reggae Global Entertainment can help you with event planning, websites, photography, and video production, press releases, legal services, and graphic design. They can even help you with music production so you can get the sound that you want every time. Call Reggae Global Entertainment at 954-804-8199. That's 804-8199. Or visit them online at reggaeglobalentertainment.com.
Yes, my people. Check out Red Funks on Reggae Global Radio. Every Saturday at 8 p.m. with Kev Stew, where I'll give you a pre-line for brand new. Good for you. Kick me like a ball if it was your dance song. You hear that?
It's Christine presenting for DJ Kevin. You see me, I say, you don't know the boss. You see me, I say, DJ Kevin's true. And the night shift radio show, yo, the thing turn up, the thing loud. Whoa, DJ Kevin's true. At the heart of a champion. Never underestimate, just choose him. The silver line behind the dark clouds. DJ Kevin's true, believe him, and that's no doubt. Sell out the night shift radio show, Christine. Just heart it up, loud.
But still I now break. Sit back and watch the world spin. or take a look at everything that's happening. Hey, you know them have we in a race with them set up, but you know we are going.
The sound of David Powell. Life hard, we still a live. Track called Life Hard. Heights of great men. Yeah, man, life can be hard, life can be stressful, but in the midst of it all, you can do some things like get a massage. That can help. Yeah, real talk. I want to say thank you to my segment sponsor, Althea and Her Healing Heavenly Hands. Althea is a licensed massage therapist that operates out of Broad County, North Miami-Dade, and South Palm Beach counties. Give her a call. She comes to you. She brings her table, her oils, and of course, over 20 years of healing hands massage therapy experience. Call her 954-655-9000 or email her at thealita@att.net. The only request that she has outside of paying her is that you get off her table when she's done and go sleep somewhere else. Real time, man, you fall asleep real quick. So if you're in Broad County, North Miami-Dade, and South Palm Beach counties, are you planning to be there? Drop her an email, send her a message, give her a call, make your appointment. Hey cuz, how you doing? Welcome to the broadcast. So, as we look at stress and how stress related to health and how those health-related problems may affect different people of different races differently. Thank you, David Powell. Track called Life Hard. You know, we look at let's take a look at some of these things a little bit deeper, right? One of the things that was mentioned is asthma. And remember, we mentioned that a stressed out parent can cause asthma in their children. Crazy, but true. Now, according to AAFA.org, which is the, what's that, Asthma Foundation? The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, AAFA. If you're a Jamaican and you decide to say AFA, it sounds like you're saying after. But hey, patois is something completely different from an abbreviation, right? The burden of asthma in the United States falls disproportionately on Black, Hispanic, and American Indian or Alaska Native people. Crazy, right? Who'd have thunk it? These groups have the highest asthma rates. They also have the highest asthma deaths and hospitalizations. Asthma disparities in America report examines how asthma affects Black, Hispanic, and indigenous populations in the United States. This report is an update, and what they're saying is in asthma, significant differences exist based on race and ethnicity. Black, Hispanic, and indigenous people in the United States are disproportionately burdened by asthma. And these differences are not new. And you would think, wait a minute. So, people know about this long time? Yeah, they've known about it for a while. So, no, it isn't new. Now, how we process that information, that might be new, but doesn't have to be. So, looking on, we see here that there's, if you visit aafa.org and you look at asthma disparities, the burden on minorities, you'll see the information that I'm giving you right now. Now, Black, Hispanic, and Indigenous individuals in the United States have the highest burden of asthma. Black Americans are nearly 1.5 times more likely to have asthma. Puerto Ricans are nearly 2 times more likely to have asthma. Black Americans are 5 times more likely to visit the emergency department due to asthma. I don't know if any of our listeners are suffering from asthma or work in the healthcare field that can say something relating to this. Black Americans are 3 times more likely to die from asthma. Interesting thing, when sex is factored in, Black women, not having sex, but gender, Black women have the highest rates of death due to asthma. So, asthma can be brought on by a parent stressing out or stressing and passing it on to their children. Now, if that child is female, then they stand a higher risk of dying from that asthma. Especially if they're Black. Now, I'm not making this up. You can go and read it yourselves. I told you where I found it. AAFA.org. Asthma and Allergies Association of America. Asthma and Allergies Foundation of America. Now, racial and ethnic disparities in asthma are caused by complex factors. And some of these include structural determinants such as systemic racism, segregation, and discriminatory policies. This in and of itself tells us that it is known that these things exist. So when you hear the argument that, you know, there's you don't have systemic racism, that's not a thing. People are just making up these things. That's not a real thing. Well, here you have structural determinants, and one of them being systemic racism as a contributing factor to disparities in asthma cases. You have social determinants, such as socioeconomic status, education, neighborhood physical environment, employment, social support networks, and access to healthcare. You have biologicals, such as genes and ancestry. So it could be genetically related. You have your behavioral determinants, such as your smoking of tobacco and your addiction or adherence to certain medicines. Now, social determinants and structural inequalities or inequities largely drive disparities in asthma. Factors such as genetics and individual behaviors contribute a little bit less, well, maybe significantly less even, to asthma disparities. The AAFA developed a conceptual framework for root causes of asthma disparities, and it's adapted from several existing models, including the World Health Organization's conceptual framework for action on the social determinants of health and Healthy People 2020's place-based organizing framework. AAFA's model specifically highlights the overwhelming role of racism and discrimination in amplifying social, structural, and individual stressors. Now, equity in asthma is only possible. You see, we search for equity in just about everything, don't we? Equity in asthma is only possible if partners work together toward a goal of the goal of reducing disparities. Partners include patients, families, healthcare professionals, researchers, biotech, pharmaceutical companies. Well, you know, they're going to want asthma to stick around because biotech and pharmaceuticals, they make big money from medication, right? We know this. Educators, school, community leaders, government agencies, healthcare systems, healthcare payers, employers, national and local associations, founders, advocates, policymakers, legislators, and the media. These are your partners when it comes to leveling out asthma disparities. Something as simple as asthma. Now, each group brings a unique perspective. Together, we can build effective programs, interventions that improve asthma outcomes. Conduct critical research to advance science and knowledge. And support policies that promote health equity. Health equity is one of those things that is so far in imbalance that it is ridiculous. Some of the strategies that can be employed to improve asthma health in underserved populations. And it's important to recognize that they're underserved. Experts have recognized differences in asthma for many years. You don't really hear about it, but it's there. And recently, the focus has shifted from describing the problem to finding solutions. It's about time, right? There's no single specific solution to the problem of disparities, and solutions must be holistic and target the complex factors that lead to increased burden on racial and ethnic minority populations. Emerging approaches toward effective, sustainable, and scalable solutions include public policy reform, direct interventions to improve asthma self-management, community-based programs, advancement in research and science. Now, AAFA's Asthma Disparities in America report identifies 69 strategies to address disparities. 69, what a beautiful number. 69 of them. Because a holistic approach is necessary. Some strategies focus on reducing health disparities overall, and some are not specific to asthma. For the same reason, some strategies focus on improving asthma care overall and are not specific to racial and ethnic disparities. So, that is your asthma. Now, another thing that one of those other conditions that tend to be affected by stress that affect races differently. It's heart disease. And it is the leading cause of death for men and women in the United States, claiming more than 800,000 lives per year. And although people of all ages and backgrounds are at risk, heart disease affects certain racial groups at a disproportionate rate. And in order for an individual to manage the risk for heart disease, it is imperative to understand methods of prevention and warning signs that could indicate a more serious cardiac condition. Now, heart disease refers to a variety of cardiac events, including stroke, heart failure, aortic disease, arrhythmia, which is your heart murmur, coronary artery disease, vascular disease, and high blood pressure. While there are many modifiable risk factors associated with these conditions, you know, your diet, exercise, sleep, and of course, stress, a person cannot control the role that gender, age, and race play. African Americans are 2 to 3 times more likely to die from premature heart disease and stroke than their Caucasian counterparts. According to the American Heart Association, high blood pressure or hypertension affects the African American population more than any other race in the world. Obesity and type 2 diabetes are also prevalent among this group. This is your African American group, your black people. American Indians are your Alaska natives. Are among the another, let's see. It is heart disease is a leading cause of death among American Indians and Alaska Natives. And more than 30% of deaths occur in people under the age of 65, which is staggering. So if I were American Indian or an Alaska Native, right about now, I would be concerned about my heart disease risks. More than 30% of deaths occur in people under the age of 65. That's a high number. Research links the heightened risk to a variety of factors, including genetics, smoking, stress, and diet. See, stress, big part. And to date, tobacco use among American Indians and Alaska Natives is higher than any other race or ethnic group. Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, these are all among the states with the highest rates of American Indian heart-related deaths. Researchers have found heart disease causes more deaths among another group, your Asian population. More Asians have died from heart disease than all cancers combined. The heightened risk for cardiac events has been linked to undiagnosed high blood pressure and or high cholesterol, along with higher rates of physical inactivity. Diabetes, obesity, and smoking also play a role in the risk of heart disease among Asian communities and subgroups. Now, like Asian Americans, heart disease affects Mexican Americans at a higher rate. So these are your Hispanic or your Latino Americans. And this is at a higher rate than any form of cancer. So you have your Asians and your Latin Americans that are your Latinos that their rate of death or heart disease, I should say, are higher than any form of cancer. The prevalence of diabetes and obesity among the Latino community increase the odds of stroke and other forms of cardiac dysfunction. And many heart disease or heart-related events among Hispanics have been linked to high blood pressure. Now, how this affects people in the Caribbean, I am not too sure, because I am of the belief that diet also plays a role in some of these conditions. So you have stressors, which America is big on stress, because it's all about production, outcome, causing stress. Stress causes these conditions that we are talking about, and it affects different races differently, and that's kind of where our focus is. Now, regardless of race, 80% of premature heart disease and strokes are preventable. 80%, so the majority of them are preventable. And certain modifiable behaviors can significantly reduce the risk of cardiac events. Things like having a balanced diet. You want to aim for a diet rich in grains, fibers, plant-based fats, and lean proteins to lower the risk of heart disease. You want to be identifying symptoms of poor heart health that can see cardiac events can include fatigue, congestion, cough, chest pain, pressure, stomach pain, jaw pain, or numbness and discomfort in the arm. Signs. Cigarette smokers should take necessary steps to quit. Stop smoking. Because they're more than twice as likely to have a fatal heart attack than non-smokers. Now, non-smokers, you want to not be hanging out with the smokers, because secondhand smoke is a little bit more dangerous than firsthand smoke. So you're making your situation a little bit more dangerous. Establishing a routine of physical activity, even as simple as low impact walking, can lower stress and improve blood flow, circulation, and all of these to help to reduce the odds of heart disease. Again, here comes stress. And you want to get to know your doctor and schedule annual visits to assess heart and your heart health and screen for blood pressure, diabetes, lipid profiles, and cholesterol. More than 40% are living with hypertension, often referred to as the silent killer, due to the fact that it has no identifiable symptoms, really. So that is why hypertension is the silent killer. Now, one of the leading causes of high blood pressure is stress. And over time, the change in blood vessel resistance takes away from the nutrients and blood flow to the heart, increasing the likelihood of strokes and other potentially fatal health problems. Again, stress. So you manage the stress and you can manage the heart condition. You manage the heart condition and you can live longer. This is especially important for people in the African American community, black people. And there are people who are listening to us from all over the world. So, I can't stress African American too much. I need to stress black people. We need to be aware of these things. Now, not to say that people on a whole shouldn't be aware of what can contribute to their heart health. But understand, some races are affected more than others. And if you fall into one of those categories that you are in the race that, well, you're running up there towards the top, when it comes to things like heart disease, you probably want to monitor your stress levels. Yeah? We're going to take another break. When we come back, we talk some more. We look at some more of these conditions and how they caused by stress and how they show up in different races differently. The racial disparities with stress-related health conditions. Yeah? Cool. We'll be right back after these other messages.
When being in the moment is priceless, consider the ability to share that moment. If you can video it, you can broadcast it. And Pulse eMedia Group has the tools you need. Weddings, birthdays, funerals, graduations, church services, parties, seminars, you name it. Pulse eMedia Group can provide you with a secure medium controlled by you to broadcast your event. Contact us at www.pulseemediagroup.com for more information. Pulse eMedia Group, when being in the moment is priceless.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Greetings and salutations. This is DJ Kevin Stew inviting you to bubble up and simmer down with me in the Saturday Stew right here on Reggae Global Radio. Get ready for the special segment called The Secret Ingredient, where you may hear from your favorite artist or producer. Saturday Stew happens every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time exclusively on ReggaeGlobalRadio.com, where we get high on reggae. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." With this in mind, and encouragement received during a South Florida media conference, The Church Links was birthed. The Church Links is an interdenominational worship service portal for churches, providing the tools to spread the word through technology in a cost-effective way. The Church Links, www.dahchurchlinx.com. Your links to worship and praise.
Yes, yes, yes. Akar Mantino, I'm making no sense right now. You are locked in to DJ Kevin Stew on the night shift.
Welcome you back to the broadcast. In the background, the sound of Audley Rollin'. A new song from him called Never Knew Love Till You. You can catch Audley and his beautiful wife, Dawn Marie, on Reggae Global Radio on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for the International Gospel Mix. Speaking of Reggae Global, so when perfection came, I want to say thank you to my segment sponsor, Reggae Global Entertainment. Yeah, after all I've been through, Reggae Global will take care of your bookings as a booking agent, handle your tour management, take care of your business registration, your legal service referrals, music production, marketing and promotion, and so much more. Give them a call, 954-804-8199. That's 954-804-8199. Or check them out at reggaeglobalentertainment.com. Tell them you heard about them on Night Shift to DJ Kevin Stew. For me, not for what I have or for what I could give. So, as we continue looking at stress, health, and race, Lord, I thank you for loving me. One of the things that is affected by stress is your body weight. No one else has ever done nothing. So, there is obesity that comes into play when you're talking about stress. And there was a study done according to BMJ.com, and the study was based on nationally representative population of multicultural or ethnic background. And they say, we reported the most recent national trend estimates of obesity, abdominal obesity, and body composition, and their other racial and ethnic disparities among U.S. adults from 2011 to 2012 to 2017 to 2018. Overall, we found that obesity prevalence remained high and was increasing in the U.S., although with variation among racial or ethnic groups. The age-adjusted mean body mass index and waist circumference and obesity and abdominal obesity increased from 2011 to 12 to 2017 to 18. The age-adjusted body fat percentage and lean mass, only available for adults aged 29 to 59 years, did not change during this period in most racial or ethnic groups. The trends differed across racial or ethnic groups, and estimates for people in the non-Hispanic black group were plateauing at a high level for all measures, but showed a decrease in lean body mass. Non-Hispanic Asians were the only group that had increases in all adiposity measures and and lean mass. Now, for those wondering what adiposity is, that is that is obesity or extreme obesity. People in the Hispanic and non-Hispanic white groups showed increases in body mass index and waist circumference, but not in body fat percentage and lean body mass. In every racial or ethnic group, the prevalence of general obesity in 2017 to 2018 was higher than the goal of 30.5% in the Healthy People 2020 program. Now, the study investigated national estimates of body composition among U.S. adults in recent years. The findings provide important information about adiposity directly measured by dual energy times ray absorptimetry. Absorptiometry. I'm sorry. Whereas previous studies usually reported obesity defined by body mass index as a proxy of adiposity. Overall, age-adjusted body fat percentages and lean masses were stable among U.S. adults aged 20 to 59 during years 2011 to 18, with considerable disparities in race or ethnicity. Non-Hispanic Asians, especially men, showed an increase in body fat percentage, while all other races or ethnic groups remained relatively stable. So, non-Hispanic Asian men, compared with the results from 1999 to 2004, body fat percentage and total body fat in the current study were much higher overall and in each racial or ethnic group. In an interesting finding was that non-Hispanic Asians showed an increase in lean mass, while non-Hispanic black people showed a decrease, especially among women. So, what were the conclusions of this? You can find the entire report on bmj.com. And this one was looking at obesity. The National Representative Study Survey provides an important picture of trends in various obesity and adiposity measures in adults in the U.S. Variations across race or ethnicity were observed for trends in the obesity and adiposity measures, including body mass, waist circumference, body fat percentage, lean mass, general obesity, and abnormal obesity from 2011 to 2018. People in the non-Hispanic black group showed a leveling off in most measures, although their figures remained high, and a decrease in lean mass also. And additionally, we observed consistent increases in all measures among non-Hispanic Asians, which warrants further attention. So, in America, here we go again. Your non-Hispanic Asians and your non-Hispanic black people showed more gain in girth. So the obesity level, and again, here you have obesity being one of those conditions that are affected by stress. Now, again, for those that are listening from all over the world, stress is not indigenous to the United States of America. So, if you fall in any of these racial categories and you are stressed, this information is for you. So, you might want to, you know, keep up on that. Now, another thing that goes well, or not well, but typically hand in hand with obesity is diabetes. Now, not to say that you have to be obese or overweight to have diabetes, but understand that they tend to somehow mesh. Black, indigenous, Hispanic, and Asian individuals and people of all non-white racial and ethnic groups are more likely to have diabetes and diabetes-related health complications than their white peers. Did you know that? That was your did you know moment for the night. Now, here's how social determinants of health lead to differences in diabetes care and outcomes, creating racial, ethnic, and economic health disparities in the United States. According to the 2020 National Diabetes Statistics Report published by the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, diabetes affects over 34 million people in the United States, and that's more than 1 in 10 people. However, diabetes does not affect all communities equally, as with many conditions, as we've been talking about tonight already. Conditions like heart disease, chronic lung disease, and chronic kidney disease, and a person's race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status influences both their risk for developing diabetes and their access to diabetes management resources. The health disparities that exist among the many races in the United States are not attributable to genetics or biology alone, but also to socioeconomic factors and social determinants of health that disadvantage people of color. Now, through genetics and biology, although they play a role and a very important one in diabetes prevalence and complication rates, we are going to, in part, look at the societal factors that affect the lives of people living with diabetes, such as access to healthy food, healthcare, employment, and other socioeconomic factors. And we'll try to aim specifically at exploring the racial health disparities that disadvantage communities of color. Now, some of the things that we need to understand is that systemic racism lies at the center of the majority of this information on diatribe.org. And with looking at racial health disparities and their underlying causes, you want to keep in mind that these factors are a result of the long-standing structures that affect the lived experiences of people of color. They are not attributed to the personal decisions of individuals. Understand that. So, what do health disparities actually look like in the US? The data show concerning patterns. Black, indigenous, Hispanic, and Asian populations are more heavily affected by diabetes than their non-Hispanic white counterparts in diagnoses, management challenges, and diabetes-related complications. The CDC's diabetes statistics report showed alarming differences among races in the estimated percentage of adults with diabetes, both diagnosed and undiagnosed. And this is in the U.S. from 2013 to 2016. So the percentages kind of go like this. The blacks, your non-Hispanic blacks, 16.4%. Non-Hispanic Asians, 14.9%. The Hispanic, 14.7%. Just a little bit under the Asians. And your non-Hispanic whites, 11.9%. While these differences in rates are quite vast, the evidence shows that diabetes prevalence is not dependent on race from a genetic or physiological standpoint alone. For example, in this study from 2007, when researchers accounted for socioeconomic factors, the differences in rates of type 2 diabetes between racial groups were reduced. This supports the idea that socioeconomic factors that disadvantage people of color are a significant cause for the health disparities. In a 2017 study published in the Journal of Racial and Ethnic Health Disparities, a team of researchers from Meharry Medical College and Vanderbilt University found that there were differences in the quality of diabetes care between racial and ethnic groups. Using the 2013 Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, MEPS, they indicate quality of diabetes care. Compared to white individuals, Hispanic, Black, and Asian individuals received fewer diabetes management checks, including A1C tests, eye exams, foot exams, blood cholesterol tests, and flu vaccines. Even in adjusted models, which controlled for factors like insurance, coverage, poverty, and education, some of the disparities remained. Most notably, Hispanic, Black, and Asian individuals were still less likely to receive the two recommended annual A1C checks. The researchers showed that this difference in quality of care occurred partly because populations of color had less access to health insurance and diabetes management education compared to white populations. Who knew? Well, clearly the CDC did. Trends in care translate to trends in diabetes outcomes, including complications and death rates. A study from 2014 looked into racial and ethnic differences in diabetes complications and mortality. Black, Indigenous, and Hispanic individuals had higher rates of retinopathy, end-stage kidney disease, and amputations than non-Hispanic white individuals. And furthermore, these groups were more likely to die from diabetes than non-Hispanic white Americans. So, when we look at the information, in summary, Indigenous populations were 3 times more likely to die from diabetes. Non-Hispanic Black Americans were 2.3 times more likely to die from diabetes. And Hispanic Americans were 1.5 times more likely to die from diabetes. Who knew? Now, just as with the risk of diabetes, people of color are not genetically predisposed to diabetes-related complications due to race alone. A combination of social and environmental factors play into a person's ability to successfully manage their diabetes. So, when we look at stress and who gets the most stress, based on living conditions, working conditions, education availability, healthcare availability, you realize the connection to some of these conditions that are afflicting people living in places like the United States. I'm sure you're seeing the connection, right? Now, of course, genetics and biology are also involved. But you need to pay attention to the uncontrollable factors. The more controllable factors. Factors that like systemic racism that is built into the social, economic, and political fabric of the United States. It's not uncommon, it's not unknown, it's people try to sweep it under the carpet and hope that it will just go away by not talking about it. But we need to talk about it, and we need to talk about it often because it affects us. It affects us all. And some of us it affect more than others. But why? Could it possibly be that when you consider what you see when you go into your typical Black community, there is a corner store in your typical underprivileged communities, which tend to be more Black? And this is what I've seen as I've gone various places in the United States. You want to find a corner store? Go into a Black community. You don't find them in the more affluent communities, which tend to be populated more by white people. So when you consider the disparities in health as it relates to things like diabetes and the cause of diabetes, and you know, you have to take these things into consideration. So the systemic racism that people of color experience results in things like fewer wages, fewer academic and professional opportunities, and reduced community resources. And with this in mind, factors like income, unemployment, health insurance, and food and exercise environments are not entirely personal choices, but can be explained by a number of external causes. When you look at income, in the United States, there are more racial differences in wealth. A 2008 Kaiser study offered this breakdown of people living below the federal poverty level. 1 in 4 indigenous people, 1 in 5 black people, 1 in 5 Hispanic people, 1 in 10 white people. Further statistics on income and poverty levels can be found in the U.S. Census Bureau 2019 report, which confirms the racial disparities in poverty rates. People living with incomes below the federal poverty level in 2018 were earning only $12,000 a year, which works out to about $25,000 for a family of four. Now, these families and many above the federal poverty line often cannot afford the nutritious food, safe exercise opportunities, and healthcare needed to prevent and manage diabetes. So you see how the systemic racism and everything else comes into play. And the stress. You can't have that without the stress. People of color in America are also more likely to be unemployed, according to the U.S. Census. U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The rates of unemployment in 2019, broken down by race, were 6.6% of indigenous people, 6.1% of black people, 3.9% of Latino or Hispanic people, 3.1% of white people. So we see where you can't make the money. You can't find proper healthcare, you can't find a good place to live. Why wouldn't you be suffering from things like diabetes and heart conditions and obesity, even asthma? You know, food and exercise play a role. And we have to recognize that there is a level of inequity when it comes to people of color accessing good health care. It's a struggle. Now, there's also the issue of mood, and when it comes to mental health, anxiety, moods, stress plays a role there too. Whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not. The journal's Sage publication, they did a publication on the effects of race, ethnicity, and mood and anxiety. And the conclusion of this publication says, our study is a unique contribution to the body of research on the physical and mental health of men, because it is one of few to access racial, let me get this information right on my screen, to access racial and ethnic differences in the prevalence of physical health conditions by mental health status across men of different age groups. Our study found that younger Caribbean black men without mental health conditions had better physical health than younger white men without mental health conditions. But older African American men with mental health conditions had poorer physical health than older white men with mental health conditions. You see that? Our work indicates the importance of addressing the intersection of mental and physical health over the life course as we aim to understand racial ethnic differences in health among men, and particularly among Black American men. Our study illustrates that the intersection of race and ethnicity yields a different picture than either factor alone. Future work should continue to simultaneously address mental and physical health and incorporate the role of other social factors and political determinants of racial ethnic differences in these outcomes. The challenge of reconciling Black men's better mental health yet poorer physical health than white men highlights the critical role of stress and stressors in both mental and physical health, and the opportunities for understanding the causal pathway that link social and environmental determinants of health to health disparities. Listen, we know stress is real. We know stress affects our health. We know that it's a fact. We know it's real. We know that what stress affects in our, as it relates to our health, affects people of different races differently. So here, when you look at mental health, you find a white man who is in lesser quality mental health, physically doing better than a Black man who is in good mental health, because physically they're suffering. Is that crazy? Again, it comes back to environmental factors. It comes back to disparities in healthcare and accessibility to good food, accessibility to good jobs, accessibility to living good living conditions. You see how the stress affects the health, that affects different races? Or how the race affects the stress that affects the health. We need to level the playing fields and recognize that, yes, there are differences in individuals as it relates to race. But that should be just how we look at it. We know biologically there are differences. So, if certain things affect people of different races differently, and more so people that are not white, why is it that a lot of the drugs, and I've heard this argument presented before, especially for diabetes drugs, the drug that is being marketed is marketed for white people. I've heard this argument, and I'm presenting it just like how I heard it. It is marketed for white people. When Black people take these same drugs, it doesn't affect them the same way, because it wasn't designed to work within the system of a Black person. And clearly, if the same disease affects people of different races in different ways, then what do you think is going to happen with the medication? Again, I have a DJ before my name, not a DR. And my job here is to stimulate your appetite and not satisfy your hunger. So when I ask a question, I need you to come back to me either with more questions or with some answers. Let's talk about it. Because these are discussions that need to be had. In the midst of all of this, you have premature death that comes into play. And again, it is people living in rural communities of American, Indian, or people of color, your African Americans, or your Hispanics, that are at higher risk of premature deaths. You can find the information. It is out there. I found it. This one article says, and I'll give you a little piece of it. rural communities where the majority of residents are people of color or are American Indian, Alaska Native, have the highest rates of premature mortality in America. Programs and policies to address premature death in the United States require attention to the intersection of race, ethnicity, and geography in order to effectively reduce risk. Effective interventions will be those that address not only individual risk, but also systemic inequalities or inequities that lead to widespread disparities in health and mortality. So, accessibility to proper health care, accessibility to good food, good jobs. Again, I might sound like a broken record at this point. All of these things that I mentioned about stress, when you look deeper into these conditions, you can see where there are disparities. And you can see that there's a section of society that gets affected more than another. And it just so happens that that section of society happens to be to fall into the category of the poorer, or what is often referred to as a disenfranchised. How do we level the playing field? How do we get our people healthier? Check out the fast food restaurants that are and where they're located. When was the last time you went to an affluent community and found a fast food restaurant nearby? I'll wait. 773-789-STEW. 773-789-7839. When was the last time? Those of you who are on kevinstew.com, you can put it in the stew pot. Put your comment there. Affluent community fast food restaurant or corner store that has nothing but greasy food and chips, junk food. You probably don't see it. Another thing that was really, I found to be interesting and also pointed to inequity, seeing that there's a disparity there, is Alzheimer's care, Alzheimer's and dementia. And racial and ethnic disparities in health and healthcare, such as those observed during the pandemic, extend to dementia care. Stigma, cultural differences, awareness and understanding, and the ability to obtain a diagnosis, manage the disease, and access care and support services for dementia vary widely depending on race, ethnicity, geography, and socioeconomic status. These disparities reach beyond clinical care to include uneven representation of Black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native Americans in Alzheimer's research in clinical trials. Why is it that you're Black, you're Hispanic, you're Asians and Native Americans always end up getting the short end of the stick? And these are the people that you'll find doing most of the groundwork anywhere. So why? I wish I knew. And I wish I could give you answers. But alas, I can't. I have none. And here you have pharmaceutical companies and you hear people talking about the healthcare system. The healthcare system is a system in place to keep you healthy enough that you can go to work. So the drugs that are provided by pharmaceutical, by big pharma companies, they treat your symptoms. They're not there to treat your cause. Because if they treat the cars, they end up going out of business because they're doing too well. Now, of course, I could be way off. But look at the history of these stress-related conditions. Let's just look at these. I mentioned 10 of them earlier. Just look at the history of those conditions. And look at the history of the drugs and medicines that are available. And look at the history of holistic information that have been put out there. Look at the history of proper diets, exercise, sleep. Or if you want to say rest. Marva Riley wrote a book called Eat, Sleep, Meditate. You should get anybody within that's listening to this broadcast, whether you're listening live or you're checking it out on the podcast or you're checking it out on YouTube, wherever it is. You check out that book. Eat, Sleep, Meditate. It's a quick read. Marva Riley sometimes will pop into this broadcast and talk about her journey. When you talk to somebody that literally had a near-death experience. And as a result of eating better, resting properly, getting good sleep, and taking time out to be present and meditate, she used those things and it changed her life. How many people today can say they're taking the time out to do those things? And when you ask around, check out the race of the people. Check out the socioeconomic status of these people. And see if it matches up with the people that really would need help. See if it matches up with the people that are struggling. And then you tell me what you get. So in my effort to help to alleviate some of the stress, we're gonna do a little musical therapy. Because we know when music hits, you feel no pain, right? Kicking it off with the sound of the Twiggerific one, Twiggy. New music from her, it's called Never Let Us Down. As we close out this healthy love night on the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew, rolling through our musical therapy. This is the Survivor All Stars. I want to thank you each and everyone for tuning in. And I do encourage you to look out for members of your community. Your community is not just the environment that you live in, but it spreads far and wide. People that you pass along the way as you go about your day, whether you walk, ride, or drive, take the bus, the plane, the boat, or the train. These are members of your community. Do something good for one of them today, because you never know who's going to do something good for you tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, I do encourage you to come join me as we close out the night shift week with Real Talk. Right here, KevinStew.com, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Preparing me for the greatness in store, you know what time it is. Put on me Gideon boots, I'm ready up for the battlefield. And let go on
And I'm gonna take the one from the top. It's a big joke.
We're living in an environment now that we find a lot of wolves, a lot of infamous
people. This one have an all-star cast. Marla Brown, Latifah, Kelissa.
See, we're living in an environment now that we find
Tassonia.
A lot of infamous people.
The shackles on my feet will bring me down. Little did you know the pain of hope now is within my ground. Like fire, like a lighter. Yeah, yeah. Stop my words.
Have Alicia Scott in there. Yeah. Natalie Rice. Deion Reed.
Things are saying new.
It's a survivor all-star. It's loaded.
Yeah.
I do look forward to hanging out with you guys tomorrow. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you wherever you are in the world. This is where I bid you a good night. From right here in South Florida. And listen. If you're stressed out, just manage that. And remember, up until this point, you have 100% track record. You have been a survivor. You have been a winner. You have been an overcomer. So don't let anything that you're going through get you down to the point where you're below the ground. Stay up. Face it. Stay tough. Because love you much. Everybody, want to take care. Catch y'all later. Greetings and salutations, one and all. You're invited to tune in to the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. It airs on Mondays with Community and Finance, Tuesdays with Healthy Love, and Wednesdays with Real Talk from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. Come spend some time interacting in the stew pot where we keep things bubbling and wind down in musical therapy. The Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew is on kevinstew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.